This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Oded Vanunu from Checkpoint.
Hello, thank you. I'm the head of product vulnerability research. I'm focusing on few aspects in Checkpoint. My first focus is to make sure to challenge Checkpoint technologies and products in terms of cybersecurity aspects. I have a team of 10 security researchers, white hat hackers. And the second mission that I have is to look for vulnerabilities on major platforms globally around the world that can affect millions of users around the world in order to ensure awareness and to make sure that these platforms are secure and safe.
So in effect, you spend your entire day just hacking stuff.
Yes, that's true. This is the cyber landscape today. We need to understand that in the last few years, the cyber attacks become very, very sophisticated because cybercrime and nation state enter dramatically into this space. Unfortunately, because they bring high capabilities, the nations and the cyber crimes today, the industry need to deal with very sophisticated attacks. And we as a company that we are leader in the cybersecurity landscape, we adjust that a few years ago and we build teams of researchers and white hat hackers in order that we be able to deal with such a dramatic change on the landscape and to ensure that our products, our technologies, our customers will be aligned with latest protection and stuff like that.
One of the interesting things is you actually attempt to hack your company's own products in order to make sure they're secure.
Yes, that's true. We need to understand that in Checkpoint, for example, all the product releases processes in terms of security is very tight. There is no one feature or one product that is not passing any security design review by a security committee of experts. Every product that wants to get into what we call to the main branch need to pass very extensive security audit reviews and tests, meaning from the design level. Let's say, for example, a group of developers have a new idea, a new feature that need to deal with some kind of cyber challenge. They need to explain why they think that their product will deal with this cyber, how they build it, which software component they use. We need to approve that. We need to see that the logic is working. We need to see that the logic will not be able to break down by hackers. And once we are finishing the design level, before single line of code was written, we are providing the feedback and then the developer group is returned back to the design level, fixing our feedbacks, and then come back after a period of time with a fixed product that they designed from the beginning. And then they pass the second phase, which in case we are approving, we are approving them to start develop this product. And we are setting a due date for what we call penetrations and security research by researchers. And if it's not passing the second phase, then it's back to the design level, vice versa. Once they complete the phase that they decided, then this product has been doing a security research and penetration. It can take 1 month, it can take 6 months, depends how many software components are involved, what are the flows involved, what are the attack vectors available, and that's it. One important thing to know is that once you are building a team of cyber security experts, you need to cover the entire spectrum, meaning that I need to make sure that I have in my team people that are experts in cryptography, exploitation, dark web, reverse engineering, Windows internals, mobile security, everything, because this is the landscape. We need experts on all these aspects in order to make sure that we cover the entire attack vectors.
How challenging does that then become for an enterprise security team? They are under-resourced in many cases. They don't really understand what they're doing when it comes to penetration or hacking. They might look for an outside agency. So when they're trying to release products, their focus tends to be, we have this application, we'll get somebody to test it. They don't do that wider testing. They don't often ask those companies what their breadth of experience is. How do we make it more accessible for enterprises to get that wide coverage?
Your question is very important. The answer is very tricky because, as I see it, it depends on the decision of the management of this enterprise. We are seeing what is the landscape today. Everyone is being hacked. As I said, cybercrime and nation states enter this space and it's becoming more challenging. Enterprises that think that they need to deliver secure products must tie these processes from the day one product design. They don't need to wait for the product to be ready because there is now pressure of time to market and it's most of the cases it's a compromise on security. to do redesign of security once the product is already built, it's very hard to do that because you compromise a lot and you don't want to rebuild it. These processes should be done from day one because in cybersecurity, you cannot cut corners.
Now, you have the advantage. You work with a company that's focused on cybersecurity, so it has a reason, a reputation, to make sure its products can't be hacked. But at the same time, it's competing in a commercial environment. It still has time-to-market pressures. How do you balance out the two?
We are just the process. Everything is flowing through the process. We are not a bottleneck. We are part of the teams. We expand the resources to deal with that because we see the implications. Equifax. You saw what happened to the company. You saw how much money they lost. The business impact on that. Let's take, for example, Meltdown of Intel's. Once it was disclosed, the stock was getting hit and Intel lost $8 billion from its overall value. The implication is definitely hard, and the management leadership of any enterprise need to understand that. In security, you cannot cut corners.
But how do we get them to understand that? We have large breaches on a regular basis. One of the strange things about the stock market is if we look at Equifax, if we look at Target, if we look at many of these big breaches, the stock market recovers over a fairly shortish period of time, 6 months, a year. It's hard, therefore, with many of them to get them to understand that there is a reputational damage, that there is a financial damage to the business, and make them, therefore, invest on the security side. How much worse does it have to get for these companies before they get the message?
I think that we are today in a worse situation. We are in a bad situation. And I don't think that Equifax already recovered. I don't think now that Intel still recovered from the Meltdown Spectre vulnerabilities. There are resources, they shift so many resources since then to deal with that. If you see the ROI or the cost, it's much more easy to create a process, to hire experts, and to be from the beginning line. I don't agree that it's recover himself, because if they will get the details, the facts or the numbers, the ROI that caused them to handle this situation, it's very, very expensive.
ROI, of course, is one of the reasons that a lot of companies say they can't afford to invest. We look at the Internet of Things, the adding of internet connectivity to a fridge, to a washing machine, to a dishwasher, to a television, to a vacuum cleaner.
Vacuum cleaner. That was something that we released a few months ago, a research paper on LG IoT infrastructure. We managed to bypass their entire session authentication architecture in the IoT, and we managed to cover a flaw that any malicious user can hack to their entire infrastructure and take control on all these IoT devices. And we know that LG has 80 million IoT devices each year that they are adding to their infrastructure.
But the problem they face is that the consumer is not going to pay an extra £50 for a more secure Hoover or a more secure fridge or a more secure television. What needs to change in consumer mentality as well as the enterprise side to find a point where, in terms of the bill of materials, the ROI, this can work?
I don't think that we should throw it on the consumers. Second, we're starting to see regulations. I'm expecting in the short term that IoT devices in the countries will get what we call regulation stamp. Once you buy something from the supermarket, then it says that it contains 1, 2, 3, 4. If you want to avoid that, this is free information. As I see it, technology devices, IoT devices, will need to have this kind of process that the governments will approve them and say, okay, this is level A, this is level B, this is level C. And the consumer will get this legend of information and he will understand, okay, if I'm entering this thing into my house, the implication is that it may allow a door to my network. And I can avoid that with 1, 2, 3, 4. So every product should have few modes that will be globally agreed and will deliver what's called a proactive, or will provide a message for the consumer what exactly to do, how to deal with this device.
When we look at the wider software landscape, we see more and more attacks coming through that are old attacks. This is not new, highly crafted attacks. Old attacks keep coming back again and again and again. It indicates that somewhere there are broken processes inside organizations. How do we start to get to a point where we can get rid of those attacks, we can be sure that they're not going to keep coming back, so that we can actually focus what monies we've got on the newer, more complex attacks?
Let's first of all understand the numbers and what is the landscape look like. In 2017, there were around 14,000 public vulnerabilities. It's around 40 vulnerabilities per day, new. In 2016, we had around 7,000 or 10,000. So it was like increase. We are in a situation that every day there are 40 new vulnerabilities. And the average for patch management on organizations is around 100 days. So we have a big gap here, and we need to understand it. This is why we need teams in enterprises that understand these numbers and create plans to mitigate it. This is what we do in Checkpoint, for example. We understand these numbers. Second, today everything is moving to the cloud. Everything is microservices. Everything is APIs. Everything is application. The borders are broke, meaning that office and home applications are mixed. Things that you work on your home, you work on the office also. There are so many richness open source today. The main issue is that once you are building applications on the cloud and start using so much microservices, then you are using so many software components because it's free, because it's richness, because it's fast. The main issue here is that every product, every organization has a different logic. And once you connect all these pieces of software, you need to connect the logic between them to adjust your enterprise logic, then it starts to be mess. And this is the main reason. Because, for example, if you build application, then you will need to use, for example, PHP, JavaScript, Bootstraps, Java, React, so much open sources. And each open source brings vulnerabilities because this is software and software has bugs. I don't know if someone is updating this piece of software in his product. I don't know if he has patch management. Even I don't know if he has automation to do that. I guess no. Most of it, no. Most of the organization, I guess no. So this is the reality. And we need to make sure as a company to release products that will help these kinds of scenarios while the administrators or the CISOs don't have the time to do the patch management. And these security products are getting daily updates of the daily threats. They should stop the unpatched components as a first tier till the organization will patch it inside. But as I said, there are logic games and it's becoming more and more complex.
One of the schools of thought of moving companies to the cloud and microservices is that they are getting rid of monolithic, very old applications that they have existing in their environment, and that they are moving these across into new code that they can more readily understand and work with. That should hopefully get rid of some of those older vulnerabilities that are sitting there. Do you see any evidence that that is actually having a beneficial effect at the moment?
Yes and no. Yes, because you need to rebuild your technology. So it's a good opportunity to build it correctly, and there is more awareness today to build it correctly. I see it on the ground, I see it on the field, I see it on the startup companies, that once they are building a product, they are taking cybersecurity as one of the top priorities to deal with at these levels, and they are starting to build everything on the cloud. But in the other end, there are the companies that are doing hybrids. So they are expanding the problem. They are mixing between old and new, and it's an issue.
Part of the other problem, of course, is there are people taking old code, putting it in a container, and moving it in the cloud and calling it cloud code. Do we need to get away from that? Do we need to make people think seriously about how they can rewrite, redesign their code, because that gives them a start point to be more secure going forwards?
Yeah, absolutely. Security needs to be a thinking way. If you are a developer, then your objective or your view is different than someone that is security architect and understand the attack vectors. But there should be like a joint effort. Every developer organization need to assure that he has a big security architect that escort the entire process from the beginning all the way, and that he is enforcing the best practices on the industry along the way. Without that, there will be vulnerabilities. There is no game here.
Oded, thank you for your time today.
Yeah, I enjoyed. Thank you very much.